nation preaching the gospel, the soul-saving, life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. So, got a slideshow. Let's get into it. Let me see if I can get where I'm out of everyone's way. Everybody good here? Mm-hmm. Everybody can see? Can you hear me?
Hang on. That's what I'm fixing to fix.
Brother, I'm a country kid. I don't remember all this stuff. This stuff was far before my life. And Scott's going to yell at me, get that microphone on. Right, Brother Scott? What do you want to bet the back? You got it to work? So, brother, this morning's production back there, it's knucklehead production.
He got us going, bro.
He's got it. Yeah, he's using analog equipment.
Duct tape. Oh, who said duct tape?
Kevin.
I love you, Kevin.
I know. Yeah.
Should we never leave
him without it?
We got it.
All right.
We're at work.
The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what Jesus told his disciples. That's part of the Great Commission. It still stands for you and I today. There we go. It's our responsibility to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. Where we live, that's our Jerusalem. That's our responsibility. But the rest of the world is also our responsibility also. Where we do that, there's scripture print ministries, there's missionaries to support and prayer and financially. But it's our responsibility as God's children, born again people, to get the gospel to the lost. We're the Mark family, James, Dawn, and Sarah. We're missionaries to the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. We're sent out of Hopewell Baptist Church in Hammock, North Carolina, and my pastor there is Brother Michael Carpenter. Before I forget, we have some prayer cards here on the table. Please get your prayer card. Some information on the back about the place and the people. Blackfeet Reservation is one of seven reservations in Montana. You see it here. It's the one highlighted in red. The northwestern corner is bordered on the west by Glacier National Park, and the north is Canada. It's the Canadian border. It's a pretty big reservation. It's 2,500 square miles. It's roughly 60 miles north to south and 40-something miles east to west. It's home to 12,000 people, nearly all of which are registered Blackfeet Indians. It's a big spread out place, 12,000 people live here, nearly half of them live in this little town here called Brownie. That's the hub, that's where the hospital is, that's where the BIA office is, that's where the tribal council headquarters is. So there's roughly 6,000 people that live here, and the other 6,000, they live all spread out all over this big old reservation. You would take this map and shoot it with a shotgun, that's kind of what it looks like. Just people spread out all over. It's a big area, it's a dispersed people. What it's going to be is a lot of legwork, a lot of driving, a lot of knocking on doors, a lot of door-to-door work. Who are the Blackfeet people? There are people just like any other people. You see a grandfather here with his granddaughter. They have families. They have children, they raise their children, they want better for their children than what they had. There are people that enjoy life. You see two little Blackfeet girls here at one of their festivals. They have festivals. They have things they want to do. They just want to enjoy life just like other people. What they are is a very religious people. You see one of the elders here in his powwow costume. These powwows, it's a big tourist draw. It's a lot of pageantry, a lot of costumes and drums and dancing, and the tourists flock in, and these and the Blackfeet and other tribes, they use it as a source of income. But what it is idol worship. Mm-hmm. These people, when they're doing these dances and having these powwows, their religion, they worship the sun. Not the S-O-N, the S-U-N. You want to see exactly what God thinks about that? Read Ezekiel chapter 8. It's an abomination, God said. Yeah. What they are is a people that have never had a consistent biblical gospel witness. They have had everything in world thrown at them but the truth. That King James Bible is truth.
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Christ is truth. The Word of God is truth, according to John 17:17. It's a poor place. We took these pictures. We didn't ride around and look for the worst looking places to put on a slideshow. The poverty rate's 4 times the national average. Unemployment rate normally hovers around 50%. Most of the jobs that are available on the reservation are jobs that women traditionally do. In the hospital, in the school system, in the tribal council office. So if a man wants to work, he has to travel. And I don't mean commute. The closest Walmart from Browning, Montana is 136 miles. Huge distances. It's in the middle of nowhere. Commuting for work in summertime is impractical. In wintertime, it's impossible. So if these men want to work, and many of them do, they have to travel. They go on the road for weeks, for months at a time. And that's a bad situation for any family, but for lost people. It's terrible. What it's led to is the family structure on this reservation has been decimated. As much as it's been attacked in general in our nation, even more so in the reservation. This is one of the Catholic schools where there is spiritual darkness. There will be those that love spiritual darkness. And one of the ways they get them is through education. Send your child down to our school, they'll get a better education than they will at the public school system. But what they're actually getting is indoctrination. This is one of their churches that's not open all the time. When they open it up 2 or 3 times a year, people flock in because they've been taught if you don't take mass and let them baptize your babies and give you last rites, then you can't get to heaven. And we all know none of those things will get you to heaven anyway.
That's right.
The shed blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to gain you entrance into heaven. This is the Mormon building. They don't have much of a presence there yet. They do have a building they built. They're cunning.
Oh, yeah.
Seem like they have nearly unlimited resources. If they get a foothold on a reservation, they can do great damage. This is where we're planning on starting our ministry. We're going to rent us a house here in Cutbank. We're going up in June to carry our possessions, put them in storage on a reservation. We're going to get on a list for housing. Housing is difficult. It's a 3 to 6 month wait list. We're going to get on the list for housing. By the grace of God, by the end of this year, we're going to be there. It's on the eastern border of the reservation. Gives us direct access via Highway 2, which is the main artery through northern Montana, to any place we want to go on a reservation. Until God opens some doors, closes some doors, leads and guides and directs and tells us exactly where he wants us on the reservation. It's a cold place. The penguin guy here underneath him, it says, "Welcome to Cutbank, Montana, the coldest spot in the nation." January, they had a cold spell up there. It was 56 degrees below zero. It gets cold here. It was 56 degrees below zero. As cold as it is physically, it's that cold spiritually. There's almost a complete absence of a gospel witness. It's hard for most of us to understand that. We drive by churches, we see church signs, bumper stickers, crosses. There's just so much of a witness for Jesus Christ where we live. These people don't have that. What's the plan? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Have to have a plan. I said earlier, God leads and directs. He opens doors. He closes doors. But you have to start with a plan. So what's our plan? The biblical motto is the gospel is presented, souls are saved, and churches are established. Paul and his men would go into an area and wherever anyone would listen, whether it be down by the river, in the synagogue, in the market, he would present the gospel. These people were saved and churches are established. I believe that still works.
Yeah,
if you're sitting here this morning born again by the grace of God, it's because someone presented you with the gospel in some way, God convicted your heart, you repented and turned to him and believed on Jesus Christ. That's how you got saved. I believe it still works. It's our desire to have a little independent Baptist church in each one of these communities. gospel would never be a mega church.
No.
But what it would be is a place where these people were looking for hope and get to the end of their rope and could come in and sit down and hear the gospel preached and be saved and be taught what that Bible says, that King James Bible says about living for God. Reach the children. 38% of the population on the reservation is age 19 and under. So pretty much 4 out of every 10 people is a child. The national average is 22%, 2 out of every 10. As these children grow up, they see their parents, their grandparents, many times their great-grandparents. They struggle with alcoholism, with drugs, with unemployment, with suicide. And what it's done is it's bred a sense of hope. That it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way. It's just a vicious cycle, what it is.
Yeah.
Folks, a social program is not going to break that cycle.
Amen.
If anything is going to break that cycle and help these children, it's going to be that gospel.
Amen.
It's going to be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If we don't reach this generation, this other crowd will. There's been a great resurgence in their traditional religion the past 20, 25 years. And what it is there's people looking for hope. It's being pushed into community. It's being taught. Their traditional religion is being taught in the public school system.
Right.
This young lady here, she kind of typifies the Blackfeet people to me. She's almost got a resigned look on her face. And that's the way these people are. They're just resigned to the fact that it's always been this way. It's always going to be this way. But she looks pretty tough, too, don't she?
Well,
she probably whooped 2 or 3 boys her age. These people, they've had things taken from them. They've had everything thrown at them as far as religion goes, except the truth, and they're still there. They're waiting on someone to bring them that gospel. Same gospel that saved you and I. Training men for the ministry. God calls preachers, men train men.
Amen.
Many times you see a missionary go out, he'll start a work, whether it be a farm work or domestic work, God will bless it, but that man begins to grow old like we all do. When his time's done, maybe he has to come off the field because of health issues, maybe he goes home to be with the Lord, and many times you'll see that work dry up because no one was in place to continue to work. When God saves these Blackfeet men, and calls these men to preach. I want to help them and train them in the ministry. So if the Lord tarries and my time's done and I have to go home,
right,
either way, someone will be in place to step in and they won't have to go home. They'll be home.
Yeah.
This is a friend of ours. Her name is Faye Minnie Whitehorses.
Yeah.
Miss Faye was born on the reservation. Miss Faye was born again on the reservation.
Amen.
Her family was instrumental in starting an independent Baptist church back in the late 40s, early 50s. She was born into the church. She got saved in that church. 5 or 6 years ago, they had a pastor. He was a missionary. His health failed. He had to come off the field, so they closed the doors of the church. So this is what Miss Faye told us. She said, "My prayer is that God would send someone back to get in that pulpit and preach that gospel,
amen,
that King James Bible, so that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren can hear and be saved just like I was." Folks, who don't want that?
Amen. Amen.
We would ask that you would please pray for the Martin family and pray for the Blackfeet Nation.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, it's a matter of hope. It's a matter of light. A little light would dispel much darkness. We could be in this room and black these windows out and get it so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And I could take one candle, a little candle, and put right here and light that candle, and every eye in this place will be drawn to that light. That's what we are in this world, light. And it's our call, it's our desire to go to this reservation and be that light for these people. When they get to the end of their rope, when they're done, they don't know what to do. And they say, "What do you have that we don't?" The only thing we have they don't is Jesus Christ. That's it.
Amen.
Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning. We We got a few minutes left to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Look here in verse 21. This is the day that the world has decided they'll celebrate the resurrection. Thank God we know he's alive every day. Amen.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
But seems like around what they call Easter and Christmas time, it seems like there's a little better spirit about people. It's a great time to witness to people.
Amen.
And maybe it's induced by Santa Claus. Maybe it's induced by the Easter Bunny. But if someone's heart softened up a little bit, it might be a good time to tell them about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But look here in John chapter number 11. Look here in verse number 21. So Lazarus has died. Look in verse 21. The Bible says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Thank God she didn't have to wait that long. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 25. The Bible says, "Jesus said unto her, I am. The Bible says, "I am."
Amen.
Not "I was."
Yeah.
Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?"
That's good, preacher.
And this was just too much for her right here. She couldn't say yes. This was just overload of information. Look what she said. She saith unto him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Well, of course, he was in the world. He was standing right there before. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray you'll touch us here this morning. Pray that what's said and done will be pleasing in your sight, Lord God. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we have here Lazarus has died, Martha and Mary are sideways, and Jesus, if you'd have been here, would not have died. And so and the Lord's trying to teach her and trying to help her, just like what he does. And he does it through his book. He does it through his word. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's why your pastor gets up in the pulpit and he preaches the book.
Amen.
That's why during Sunday school you get the book, because if you're going to get help, it's going to be the Holy Spirit working through the book. There's no power apart from the book. And he's speaking here. He was talking about resurrecting Lazarus, but he was also speaking about some other things here in verse number 25 and in verse number 26. Look what he says. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And it was just a little bit too much for him. It was a little bit too much for him. Now, you and I, we know, because hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? We know what the book says. We know the end of the story. We know exactly what he was talking about. In the book, there's power. In the book, there is no power apart from God's book. So, and we're talking about the resurrection, Resurrection Sunday. You know, there were some people that the Bible calls the Sadducees, and the Bible says they didn't believe in the resurrection. I know a preacher one time says they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they're sad, you see. Right? They're sad, you see. Let's look and see what they said about the situation. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter number 12. These Sadducees come to Jesus and they're always trying to trip the Lord up, trying to trip God up in his words, which is stupid. That's a good word for it, brother. Amen. Thank you. You're going to trip God up in his words. So look here at Mark chapter number 12. Look at verse number 23. So here are these Sadducees. They come to him. They're asking him about a woman and a man. The Bible says in verse 23, "In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For seven had her to wife. A man had her, he died, his brother took her." That was the law. "Last of all, the woman died." Look at verse 24. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" Remember I said earlier, apart from the scriptures, there's no power of God. These men were erring because they knew not what the scripture said, therefore they could not know the power of God. Verse 25, "For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven." Look at verse 26. "And as touching the dead, they that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err." These men came to him, they were trying to trap him in his words, and what he did, he went all the way back to the book of Exodus to clear up some matters with these guys. Book of Exodus, you'll remember Moses had his flock, and the Bible says that he saw that burning bush. And Moses said, "I will turn aside and see this great thing." And when he turned aside, God began to speak to him. That's a lesson for us there, right? Do we turn aside? Do we turn aside and get in this book? Do we turn aside in prayer? Do we turn aside to come into the church house and worship? Do we turn aside in service? You want God to speak to you? Start turning aside. It's what the Bible says is a way to get God to speak to you. And Jesus said that God is not a God of the dead, but of the living.
Amen.
That's what he said. Now, Abraham, his bones was in a grave somewhere, and Isaac and Jacob, but he said he's not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Those bones were in a grave, but they themselves were somewhere. We know it was Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
Jesus said they were living.
Living.
This tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
This tabernacle is not your life.
Thank God.
This tabernacle is not your life.
Amen.
This tabernacle is going to get old and it's going to start to hurt.
Yes, sir.
When you're young, you really can't understand that. I'm not an old man. I'm not young as I used to be, but I'm not old as I hope to be. I'm 51 years old. But I can tell you for a fact, things at 51 are not like they were at 20.
Go ahead, preacher.
Right? But this tabernacle, it's not your life. Your life is in Jesus Christ. If you've been born again by the grace of God, you have eternal life, the Bible says. And when you lay this tabernacle down, you're going to pick up something far, far, far better. And that is all because of Jesus Christ. Turn back to John chapter 11 with me. Let's look at this group of people he's talking to. Look at John chapter number 11.
That's good preaching, brother.
John chapter number 11. He said, "Well, brother, I don't know, man. I got breath in my body."
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
You do, but that's not your life. Look here in back John chapter 11. Look at verse 25. "Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He's speaking to one group of people here.
Yeah.
And the group he's speaking to are those that believeth in me.
Yeah.
Now, there's two states to those people. There are those that this old tabernacle has given up on them and they have died. The tabernacle has. Then there's that group that's still alive. But it's one group of people in two states.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
What are you getting at? His body's not your life.
Hallelujah.
When you lay this body down and they put it in the ground and put it in the grave, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to live on in a better place. So you look at these two, yeah, amen. So you look at these two verses of Scripture, verse 25 and verse number 26. Let's look at it again. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest this? That ought to sound very familiar to you. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter. Hold your place here in John chapter 11 and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And hold your place here. We're going to compare these scriptures and see if we can't allow God to line his word up. And this is nothing new to you. I don't have anything new. I just regurgitate what I've heard and learned. And there's nothing new under the sun. If you're looking for original thought from me, you are going to be disappointed. I don't have one. But I know a little bit about what the book says, amen.
Amen.
And just because it's said one time don't mean it won't be good when you say it again. Look here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. Now, in your Bible, in the New Testament, when a Christian sleeps, this old flesh is given up on him. But he's still alive, right? He's not in the ground. It's not a soul sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die, when we take that last breath here, we open our eyes in glory, but the Bible calls it a sleep. Look at verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the resurrection. That's what we believe, right?
Yeah.
Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now this is where we're going to compare our scripture in John chapter 11 to this. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
John chapter 11 verse 25 says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Those dead, and they're going to live. Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. John 11, 27 says, 26 says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? There's coming a day.
Amen.
When the Lord is going to return. When he does, those that are dead in Christ, they're home with him. That body's going to be resurrected. Those of us that are alive and remain, the bodies are going to be changed. We're going to be glorified. We are going to go home to be with the Lord forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Forever.
That's
what Jesus was trying to tell her. He was trying to tell her, your life's not in the flesh.
Glory to Jesus.
He was trying to tell her, there's something better coming. And old Martha, she was just bobbing her head. I could just see her. Yes, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ. And her mind was just blown away. But you and I, we have the spirit of truth indwelling, right?
Amen.
Amen. We have the King James Bible. We have God's Word to tell us, and we can understand.
Amen.
One more thing, we're going to close. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15.
Amen.
Now, this is the resurrection chapter, and it talks about things being resurrected and being changed and new bodies. And look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51. First Corinthians 15, that 1 Thessalonians 4, that we don't sorrow as other people that have no hope.
Right.
We have hope.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to walk to a graveyard and bury a loved one, but if that person's born again, you know you're going to see him again. We always have that comfort. That's why the Bible says, comfort yourself with these words.
Amen.
Comfort yourself with these words. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and those which are alive and remain, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, death doesn't have that power over you anymore. Amen. When the tabernacle gives out, it's all right, because it's not our life anyway. Our life's in Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
Look at verse 57. The Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What you getting at, brother? What I'm getting at is, Jesus Christ hung on that cross. He shed his blood. He died. And they put him in that tomb. 3 days later, he came out of that tomb, and the Bible says he is alive forevermore. And if you believed in him, you're going to live just as long as he does.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
What you getting at? What I'm getting at is, this flesh, this body is not our life. We are not hoping for eternal life. If you trusted Jesus Christ, you have eternal life right now. What I'm getting at is, because he lives, we can live.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, and we pray your touch us here and help us, Lord God. You're so good to us, and we just thank you for being willing to give your life for us, Lord, that we could believe in you and be saved and eternally secure and spend eternity in heaven with you, Lord. So touch us here this morning and help us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen, preacher. That's good stuff. Brother, if you want to, on the top of it, you just slide it over and it'll mute you. And that way, if you go to the bathroom or you belch or you hiccup or anything, it won't get caught. Ain't that good stuff? Well, I got to say one thing. He's not as handsome. Doesn't have as much hair as I got. But I'd say he's a pretty good preacher, don't y'all think? He's probably a better preacher than I am. And I appreciate that, man. That's a blessing. Sister Dawn, you're going to have to – boy, you got a good one. How long y'all been married? Yeah, we going on 37. Yeah, so – but God's been good to us. All right. Are we still on? All right. We'll be back in a few minutes, y'all. Go ahead. If you need to get up and take you a break, brother needs a water. Whoever, Brother Josh, you going to grab that water for him? Oh, you got it? Okay. Y'all, let's come back in just a few minutes, all right?